You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. Well, if you were at the Democratic and Republican conventions, your takeaway probably could fit in a couple of suitcases. Funny hats, bumper stickers, buttons, T-shirts.
Postcards.
But if you observed the conventions as we did from afar, what did you take away from the last 2 weeks of conventions? Did it change your mind? Rich sent us an email. The only time a convention changed my mind was in 1980, he says. I decided Ronald Reagan wasn't so bad. Then he became president, and I changed my opinion back again. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or my take at thetakeaway.org.
So it was actually a thank you, Rich, for that wonderful transition from one actor to another. Clint Eastwood has a definition of gold fever.
Then I got gold fever. No rockin' rollin' girl and fellow stuff can cure the gold fever. Nothing can help.
That's
you,
Clint Eastwood, who knew he could sing, but he was singing in that 1969 film Paint Your Wagon. It was set in a mining camp in the gold rush era in California, but today there's a new gold rush going on in the remote tropical rainforest from Guatemala to Mexico to Mongolia. Some call it the rush for blood gold, given great concerns about criminal rings running it and the poisonous consequences for the land and the people who live in those areas. Joining us now is William Lawrence, a Smithsonian scientist at the Tropical Research Institute working in Panama. Welcome, William.
Oh, good morning.
You've told us that the disastrous consequences of this new rush for gold, you almost need to see it to believe it. Tell us about those blood rivers.
Yeah, it's pretty devastating. You have to sort of start off by envisioning, a tropical rainforest. Some of these areas where these mining operations are happening are just pristine, remote rainforests. They're beautiful rainforest streams, clean water that you can just reach down and drink. And then the miners come in, and they've got quite heavy machinery, very powerful pressure hoses, like you'd see, firing off of a fire hydrant, and they just gouge the riverbanks and the soil, and they basically just turn everything into this sort of milkshake-like slurry. It's blood red or jaundice yellow, and the aftermath of one of these mining operations really looks something like a moonscape. It's not exaggerating this. So you're taking this, this beautiful rainforest stream, and you're converting it into this, 50 or 100 yard wide strip of just ponds of this yellow or reddish water. It's laden with mercury, toxic mercury, because the miners use mercury to separate the gold out from the sediments. The pools that are formed tend to be prime breeding areas for malaria-bearing mosquitoes. The miners get into all kinds of mischief because these are really sort of roughneck characters penetrating out into these remote areas. They hunt. There's been many violent incidences, and the miners tend to sometimes jump each other's claims. So they have shotguns, in some cases automatic weapons. They do a lot of hunting. There's been cases where they've devastated jaguars and harpy eagles and peccaries and tapirs and wildlife species out there. And then, of course, they have conflicts with the indigenous peoples and the local villages. Not only are they devastating the fisheries and the streams that a lot of these communities are relying on for their protein and for, key food sources. I mean, the fish are being just completely wiped out by this just, mountains of sediment that are pouring into the rivers, as well as the toxic mercury.
Right. You're talking about mercury. But that's just one of the byproducts of mining gold, right? In other words, I think you've described it as, tell us what happens when you just mine a third of an ounce of gold, like, say, to make an 18-carat ring, just one ring.
Yeah, I mean, the statistics I've seen are pretty devastating. Typically, just to produce a small, like an engagement ring, you would produce something on the order of 20 tons of mine tailings of waste, and then that would have pounds of lead and arsenic and mercury and cyanide, all toxic compounds that would be coming into stream systems. In some of the big mines, you know, some of the major industrial mines, what I've been talking about there was the illegal gold mines. And then, of course, you get these major industrial mines. You can get mountains, I mean, pyramid-sized mountains of this mining waste being produced. I visited some years ago a major mine in central Borneo, and this was astonishing to me because the mining company had produced, I mean, literally a pyramid-sized mountain of highly acidic mining waste, which was also, you know, laden with toxins, and these were bleeding into, there was, you know, tropical regions with lots of heavy rainfall. These were sort of bleeding into nearby streams.
And William, is this in part driven by the skyrocketing price of gold as the dollar has fallen over these many months?
Yeah, and it's not just because of the falling dollar is part of it, but it's also because of rising demand. Of course, there's traditionally high demand in industrial countries, and also, of course, we're seeing, there's a resource scramble happening all over the planet right now because of China and India and other emerging economies, really increasing demand as well. So, and it's not just for gold. I mean, we talk about blood gold, and I think it's important to emphasize that there's a run right now. I mean, in the last 5 years, there's been 300% to 500% increase in the prices of gold, but also silver, copper, iron, tin, molybdenum. In just the last 6 months, the price of coal has doubled. And also, of course, oil and gas, which we hear all about.
Right. But when we talk about gold, 80% of it is used, I've read, for jewelry. How is the jewelry industry responding to some of these issues that you've talked about?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I don't think I could respond in any, you know, in an informed way about this. I'm sure that legitimate gold producers would scream bloody murder if people like me suggested that, you know, people shouldn't go out and buy, you know, blood gold rings for their engagement. If I had to buy 16 years ago, I bought my wife a gold and diamond ring. I'm not sure I would do that again today, to be honest with you. So there are legitimate producers out there, but of course
there are some who are taking advantage. We're going to have to leave it there, William. We're going to have to leave it there, but we'll certainly hope to have you back sometime to fill us in more on this developing story. William Lawrence, a staff scientist with the Smithsonian's Tropical Research Institute. Thank you so much for coming to us from Balboa, Panama. Now we're going to turn to Femi Oke, who's got the latest headlines for us.
Hello there. It is 29 minutes past the hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.